Hey, everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to the Leading Well Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, episode number 45, I have a conversation with author, speaker, leadership coach, and former professional arena football player, Pierre Campbell. In our conversation, we talk about how our own thoughts can sometimes keep us from getting to the next level. So, listen up. So we're here at episode number 45, and I just want to thank all of you who have been with me on this journey to getting to 52 straight episodes of the Leading Well Green podcast. I want to thank everybody who's jumped over to iTunes and left me a 5-star review and some comments, everyone who shared it on their social media, everyone who's just, man, just been really supportive, encouraging, the calls, the text messages, the emails about this podcast. We've had some incredible guests on this season, and I want to keep providing that for you, keep providing some content that's going to help you grow as a leader. So if you haven't, can you hop over to iTunes real quick? Hit pause. Hop over to iTunes, leave me a 5-star review, leave some comments, share this on your social media, let people know about this leadership conversation, and help me on my mission to take the message of effective leadership for emerging leaders around the world. Okay? So today I talked to Pierre Campbell. I met Pierre, reached out to him on social media because he has one of the best names on the planet. His first name is Pierre. And we have a conversation about symbol intelligence, about his professional journey, and about what he's doing to help the next generation of leaders. So here's my conversation with Pierre Campbell. Hey, everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to the Leading Well Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. And I'm super excited about this episode of the podcast because I have joining me Pierre Campbell. How's it going, sir?
Oh, it's outstanding. It's even better now just because of the fact that it's two Pierres getting together to rock the world.
Listen, bro. You might just have the best first name in the universe. I might be biased.
I agree. I said the same thing when I saw you. I said, wait a minute. This is another Pierre, man. Wait a minute. We're doing the same thing. Oh, man. We got to get together.
So let me give the folks real quick before we jump into our conversation. Let me give the folks just a little background into who you are. And this is from your blog. Pierre Campbell is known for his authentic style and passion as a personal development coach and mentor. He creates value for each participant by exposing the meaning and purpose of leadership and its impact on our lives. His strategies are used to improve workplace performance. It's his life and his effectiveness, his consistency has earned him a place in the College Football Hall of Fame, awarded to scholar athletes who demonstrate outstanding leadership. He's had a successful career as a professional arena football player, and he's had the opportunity to further develop as a leader and mentor during his tenure as a campus director at a major university. I mean, conference speaker, keynote speaker, staff development, coaching sessions, and organizations and companies like the Enoch Pratt Free Library, Strayer University, and En-ROADS have booked Pierre to speak to their teams, their managers, and their staff. And he wants to let you know that you are a leader. Pierre, welcome to the podcast. Man, it's a blessing and honor to have you with us today.
Hey, I say the same thing. It's a blessing to be here and talk with you and then talk to your people.
Yeah, so take us back, man. I mean, this bio is chock full of stuff, and I know how bios are. They say in 200 words or less, tell us who you are, but that can't fully encapsulate who you are. Man, before arena football, before campus director, before this dining etiquette piece that we'll talk about, man, how did you get your start?
Well, I mean, I am literally a first generation born here from Jamaica.
Okay.
So that's my start comes from being told you're a leader from my parents from when I was young. I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens. and growing up in Brooklyn and growing up in Queens, you get told all the time, you're the man, you're the man, you're the man from your parents. And then when you put outside the house, my mom would always say, but look, when you get out there, you're just like somebody else. You're just like everybody else. So that's one of the things that I always think about with my mom telling me all the time, you're special, but when you get back outside that house, always remember that you're just like everybody else. So I love the fact that I get the opportunity to do what I do, but it all starts from just being a first generation born here in the States, my family coming from Jamaica.
Man, I knew I resonated with you so much, not just because of your name, but because I married a Caribbean girl from Trinidad who grew up in Brooklyn.
New York, Brooklyn. New York.
Of all places. So, yeah, I mean, we got so much in common, man. Talk to me a little bit about being a student athlete and a professional athlete and kind of some of the things that you learned from that journey. I don't know many people who have been professional athletes, much less arena football players. So what was that experience like?
So in arena football, you have to play both ways. I actually attended Cheney University of Pennsylvania, the first historical Black university in the United States of America. I just want to put that out there to you people so everybody understands that.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't get a chance to go to the NFL. I worked out for many teams, traveled and tried to play on different teams with the NFL and XFL back in the day. It used to be something called XFL.
I remember.
And, you remember that? Yeah, yeah, it was like the WWE. Well, it used to be WWF.
Yeah, but, I remember. Yeah,
But Vince McMahon started the XFL, and I tried out for Canadian Football League, NFL Europe. Never got an opportunity to play, and I never gave up. I literally drove from Florida 24 hours to Canada to work out for the Toronto Argonauts, and I ran out there in my tights just in the rain, and I ran a 4.6 40, and they told me, hey, you might want to change careers and do something else, go work in the workforce and do what you learned, what you went to school to learn. And I said, okay, well, next. I went from there to Buffalo Bills, didn't make it to Buffalo Bills, and I went back home. So, but I got in where I fit in. And when people talk about arena football, you have to play both ways. It's 11 on 11. It's 8 on 8. So you have to play both ways. I played fullback, linebacker, and I got the opportunity to play arena football in multiple states and cities. It was just a wonderful experience. I would always say the thing about arena football is it's fast paced and you can get cut immediately. I got cut from my first team. I got cut from my first team in Jacksonville the day we were supposed to go to camp. So, but it's all about you get in where you fit in. And I actually live by that philosophy. Get in where you fit in.
So traveling from state to state, doing whatever you can to try out for these teams, what was it, maybe something that you developed in your childhood that was passed on from your parents, maybe a coach or a mentor along the way that helped cultivate something inside of you? What was it that, as you're making these long trips to pursue your dream, that allows you to keep going, to keep pushing, to keep trying, instead of giving up, you know, early on when they told you to try something else?
So I've always had this gift of inspiration, of motivation, and it was something that always came natural to me, even from high school. And so I figured, you know what, this is something here. And no one ever told me, okay, well, you need to like not focus on your gift. I just thought it was something that you should focus on. And the challenge is, you know, most people don't focus on their gift, and it actually. Every single place I've gone to, every arena football team I've played on, every company I've worked for, I've always used my gift. So to answer your question specifically, it's been my gift. I've identified my gift from an early age from my challenges, and I just ran with it. I ran with my gift.
One of the things, especially emerging leaders, are challenged by, sometimes we don't do a very good job of transitioning well. of maybe reading the handwriting on the walls or the culture of the organization that we're with. So talk to us about the process of transitioning from arena football to more of a corporate type environment, you know, the suit and tie thing versus the crowds and the rah-rah and the cheering. What let you know that it was time for you to transition? And then what was that process of transitioning like?
Well, Pierre, was real easy. I just didn't, I didn't get any calls back. My agent was like, well, Pierre, we don't have a team for you to go to. So I'm okay, all right. So the transition is really easy from professional football to working in the workforce. Very easy. It's that simple. You don't get any phone calls back to work out for any teams. You don't get any phone calls back to attend a camp. It's time for you to think about something different. And I got it out of my system. And a lot of young people don't necessarily get it out of their system. One of the things I tell you that happens is people don't go after their dream right after school. Once they graduate, they don't go after their dream. And then they regret the fact that they didn't go after their dream. And let me tell you, I have friends that have told me, Pierre, they went straight into corporate America right out of college.
Yeah.
And I went off waiting tables at Olive Garden and working out for football teams. For 8 years, I waited tables. Now, arena football, you don't get paid big time money like that. Okay. So what I'm saying to you is I went after my purpose and my gift. I loved it so much that I would do whatever I needed to do to get in where I fit in. You know, so that's what I did. That's what I did. So the transition was very simple. I didn't get any more calls back. Boom. Okay. All right. Now it's time to start using my degree. My degree is in business and marketing. My major was marketing. I minored in computer science. And I went straight into, of course, I was waiting tables for years. And then I went into radio. I sold radio advertisements for Clear Channel. And I learned a lot from that, from radio and being in that space, because, When we talk about helping people to transition, the first place I start is with the mind. And radio taught me a lot about the mind. And if I could just share this with you, I think it's important for everybody to hear this, your audience to hear this, is there's an acronym. I didn't create this acronym. I'm an acronym guy, but I did not create this acronym. It's called TOMA. It's Top of Mind Awareness. T-O-M-A. So in radio, what we're doing with the advertisements is we're playing the advertisements over and over and over and over. So it gets to your subconscious mind. Top of mind awareness is what they're using in radio is space-time repetition. Space-time repetition is how we've learned over time. And once it gets into your subconscious mind, boom, it's like, got him. You know, it's into your subconscious mind. And that's how we've all learned. And that's why I say for some reason, God has really blessed me, because I believe it has to be my mom, you know, because I always felt that I was great. Like even when I failed at things. Pierre, I went to Cheney University of Pennsylvania. Cheney University of Pennsylvania had the nation's longest losing streak. I won one college football game. How does a guy that wins one college football game come out and write a book about optimism? That's because God placed the gift inside of me, despite the failures, despite what people think and see. That's what was placed inside of me. And I didn't have any fear. I just figured, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yo, this is really rich, because, man, I mean, so many different directions that we could go, but kind of speak. Okay, take a few moments and really speak to the individuals who, okay, maybe it's not college football and winning one football game, but they feel like maybe as a teenager, maybe as a young adult, maybe as a, you know, a 30-year-old professional or so, I've only really had one win. My one win was my college degree. And since then, my career has been crap. You know, my one win was that I graduated from high school, and all of these years in my family, and it hasn't worked out. And I feel like giving up. Like, how do I keep going if I've only had like one major win in a 4 or 5 year time span? Like, why should I keep moving? Why should I be optimistic?
So the first thing we have to do is we have to change and reframe your thought process. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So as you're listening to me right now, you should be thinking, you're probably thinking, oh man, you know, it's tough right now. I'm going through what I'm going through, just like Pierre just said. But put things in perspective. You see, we've come up into a system, which is the educational system, and now mm-hmm. we're in the workforce system. Let me talk mm-hmm. about the two systems, because they're very important. Actually, it's three systems. The first system that you come up in is your family household. Okay, so the dynamic, the family dynamic frames your thought process. Mm-hmm. And then your educational system, what you went into when you were a child and as you came up, middle school, high school, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, you've been put in a system. Mm-hmm. And that system has rewarded you to value every single thing outside of you.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And see, that's the part where, that's why I talk about now, because it's important for people to understand. The reason why we feel the way we feel about ourselves and our failures is because we have valued, we've been programmed to value everything outside of ourselves. You pass a test, boom, you got an A. You do, you know, like everything. Oh, you got the trophy because you were number one or number two or number three. Well, nowadays, the kids nowadays, everybody get a trophy. You get one, you get one. It's crazy now. But that's what it is. We have been programmed. Our subconscious mind has been programmed to believe and value things that are outside of you. This is why I talk about understanding who you are and what your gift is. So the first thing I would do is encourage you to think about your job and your work as two totally different things. Hmm. We use the word job and work synonymously, like they mean the same thing.
Mm-hmm. We do.
But they don't. So let me break it down. So you like, Pierre, so what's the, whoa, slow down. What do you mean? Okay. Your job is a place where you go to do your work. Hmm. That's what your job is. Your job is a place where you go to do your work. And I love how my mentor, he passed away now, Dr. Miles Monroe. I'm sure you heard from Pierre. Mm-hmm. I love how he breaks it down, because he always, so now say, okay, so I understand the definition of a job. Now let's think about, what is the definition of your work? Your work is your gift. Your work is your gift. So when you're thinking about all these failures, it's not your job. Your job is not going to give you the significance. It's your gift that's going to give you significance. So what is your work? Your work is your gift. So what you should be thinking about is, what is your gift? Hmm. Because your gift is that thing that's transferable. You can take it from this job to this job to this job. And then I always ask the question, Pierre, check this out. Can you get fired from your job?
Yeah.
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 Well, let me ask you this question. Can you get fired from your gift?
No, it stays with you. Whether or not you choose to cultivate it and be honest to it is different, but it sticks with you.
And there it is. You see, most of us, we go to work and we're looking for significance from the job.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
but we really should be looking for significance. And we truly get significance from our gift, our work. So once again, it goes back to programming. So we have to think about the way we've been programmed as a child. You're coming up in this system. And as you get rewarded for getting an A in this class, getting an A in that class, but you have this little awkward little way about you. Mm-hmm. You don't know what it is. You can't describe it. Like my son is Anthony. He's 5 years old. He loves Family Feud. He loves Family Feud. I mean, it's crazy.
So I'm laughing, right?
Well,
because my talk to two me. Girls are on like a binge, Family Feud binge. When they come home, all they want to watch is Family Feud.
It's crazy. Like, he loves Steve Harvey and Family Feud.
Yes.
To the point where I ask him what he wants to be. You know what he wants to be? He wants to be the next host of Family Feud.
Wow.
And he's serious. Okay. So our job as parents, Pierre, as men, as parents, is we're supposed to identify the gifting that is within the child and nurture that. He loves it. I create. So I make him hold. I literally put him in front of the fireplace. Both of my wife and I put him in front of the fireplace. And we give him a mic and we say, and then I turn over to the side and I go to the side and I say, "Hello, everybody. My name is Pierre Campbell. And I'd like to introduce your host, Anthony Campbell." I mean, it's crazy, Pierre. I'm telling you.
I love it.
And then he walks out and he's like, Hey, everybody, I'm your man, Anthony Campbell. And I got a good one for you today, just like Steve Harvey. So what am I doing? Yeah. I'm nurturing his gifting. I don't know what he's going to be, who he's going to be. You don't know who your two little daughters are going to be.
Yeah.
You understand me? And this is what, this is why, remember, there's systems, right? The family system, the educational system, the workforce system. So I had to tell you all of that to encourage the person that's listening, because context is very important when you're encouraging people or when you're trying to help people grow. So we've been programmed to believe that failure is the end of the world. Mm-hmm. No, failure, like I say in Simple Intelligence, failure is the prerequisite for success. Failure is the prerequisite for success.
Woo, okay. This is getting creepy. This is getting real weird. We got the same first name. You grew up in New York. My wife is from New York. Your kids watch Family Feud. My kids watch Family Feud. Okay. All right. Real weird. Like, you stole my life or something. So in terms of gifting, you know, having your gifts stay with you as you transition, even if getting fired from your job, even getting not getting any more calls to play arena football and then transitioning into corporate life. How did your gift go with you on that corporate journey? And now on the other side, so to speak, of that corporate journey as an entrepreneur, how are you still using your giftedness?
So the first thing is I identified my gift. My gift is an inspiration. Similar to you, I have the gifting of inspiring. I have the gifting to be able to speak into people's lives. That is a gift, to be able to do it and also see people's differences. I've seen that since I was a young child. My best friends were like the nerds. Like my best friend, I would fight. I'm from New York, you know, it's crazy. So like I would fight for my friends. I would literally beat people up because they were either picking on my friend or, you know, we get into some altercation or whatever when I was a child. So I saw that and I paid attention to these things. And then I also had an appetite for motivation. Mm-hmm. I had an appetite for it. One of my friends in college at Cheney, she gave me some tapes. You know how old we are when we talk about tapes. Gave me some tapes, some cassettes, of this nice looking black man with a nice beard. He was sharp. His name was Les Brown.
Yes, sir.
She gave me some tapes of Les Brown back in 1995 or six. I think it was six. And I listened to those tapes and I was like, man, this is something that I'm really like attracted to this motivation thing. And then I started to think back and say, oh, no wonder. I'm always the guy that they asked to be the captain. I didn't ask to be the captain on the team in high school. I only played 2 years of high school football. Hmm. It wasn't because I was the greatest ball player. And then when I got to college, same thing. It was because I had a desire to help people, inspire people. So when you take that gift and you understand what that gift is, everyone has a gift. Everyone was born with a gift. And to be quite frank, multiple gifts.
Yeah.
But there is one thing that you do extremely well. There is one thing that you do extremely well to the point where that's your thing.
Mm-hmm.
I see people's differences. I am able to articulate the value in things where the intangible, where people don't see the value. I'm going to say that again because that's very important.
That's good.
I am able to articulate the value in things that are intangible where people don't see value. Okay. So whether it be an organization or an individual, I'm able to see their difference and then help them articulate their value. That's very unique. And it comes natural to me. So when you talk about your gifting and being able to transfer those things, I took my gift. I went and waited tables. And when I went to those tables, those three tables, this is how I transferred my gift, Pierre. I went to those three tables. It wasn't welcome to Olive Garden. It was welcome to Pierre's restaurant. Oh, yeah. Showtime
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 You come to my restaurant. I own everything I did. Yeah. It didn't matter what job I was doing. It mattered that I had this gift, and I already knew that that's what was important. The job is just, that job is not you. Whoever's listening right now, the job is not you. You make the job. Mm-hmm. The title of your company is nothing but a name. You bring, listen to me very carefully, and it's coming out of my spirit now. You bring your talents, your gifts, and your strengths to your organization. This is how I define your value. Your talents, your gifts, your strengths. That's your value that you provide an organization.
This is good.
And if you please get anything out of this, please take away what I just said. Because we don't get taught that in the three systems.
Mm-hmm.
The family system, the school system, and the workforce system.
Man, we could go on for hours, because I think you're poking right at the heart of it, and this desperate search for meaning that many of us have, especially those of us who wear the mantle of leadership. And sometimes we get caught up in thinking that our position, that title, is actually who we are, when it's actually this giftedness that we're blessed with that goes with us, regardless of if I'm waiting tables at Olive Garden, if I'm on the arena football field, if I'm coaching a room full of leaders, my giftedness is still with me, that core of who I am, and no one can take that away from me. But in all of these systems, we're taught that your value has to come from some other place. And I see a lot of leaders that get stuck on that.
You're absolutely right. Because of the programming.
Yeah.
The programming. So we have to start as leadership development coaches. We have to start with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And Pierre, I'm going to go ahead and share how I define the mind.
Okay.
So I wrote the book Simple Intelligence. Everybody knows about emotional intelligence, and it's very important. It's important in corporate America. It's important in every workspace, in any industry. Emotional intelligence, of course, is understanding your emotions and how you deal when you're interacting with other people, and then paying attention to other people's emotions, which mm-hmm. the underlying theme there is self-awareness, right? Okay. So simple intelligence is what I call common sense.
Okay.
Now, here's the reason why I say that. Is common sense common?
From talking to people, you realize everybody ain't got it.
Right. You know why? Because we have coined a term, common sense, but it is something that we have been taught. So we are calling something, defining something as to be common sense, but we were taught it. So if you go to Jamaica, let's teach. So when you go travel to Jamaica and you're driving on the left-hand side of the road, no longer on the right-hand side of the road. It would be common sense. You're thinking, as an American, we go over there to Jamaica, we need to drive on the right-hand side of the road. No. If you want to die, you go ahead and drive on the right-hand side of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? We've been taught things. So when you think about it, I know I'm kind of going in.
Yeah. This is good.
It's important. So go ahead.
And that leads me back then to your analysis and descriptions of the systems. Depending on what system I've been a part of and the characterization of that system, that determines what is categorized for me as common sense.
There you go. That's it right there. That's it right there. So now we're digging deeper. Let me tell you something, Pierre. You're right. This is like a dig deeper into the mind of your audience, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're digging deeper. Now we understand why we have biases.
Yes.
Now we understand why we have, just by explaining what I just explained, now we understand why we have racism. Now we have, it's all programming. How is it? This is what I always ask when I talk to a diverse audience. Or audience that doesn't look like me, mm-hmm. and we're talking about racial issues. If I'm talking about that, which I don't talk about much, but and whenever I bring it up, this is very important because it gets to the mind, the psyche of the mind. Is a baby born racist?
It's impossible to me.
It is impossible. Right. So, with that being said, it's a system that the baby was put in, mm-hmm. that programmed the baby, that is true love. When you look at that baby, our babies,
they come
out as love. Love. They go straight to mommy, ready to eat.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. And they feel daddy's voice, and they're ready to be held by daddy. But when you get programmed to think a certain way, when you get programmed to see things in a certain way or see people in a certain way. And then you get programmed, and now you're in school, and then you get programmed to view yourself and others in a certain way. Mm-hmm. Then you go to the job, and then you get programmed to devalue what comes natural to you because you're trying to fit yourself into a job description that you're told you are to do. And you want to be successful, right? Because in order to be successful, you got to fulfill everything, all of the requirements and all the responsibilities on the job description.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what the system tells me.
Exactly. So with that being said, it is very important for people to understand the reason why you think the way you think. Why do you think the way you think?
Listen, Pierre, this is not, we got so much for one episode of the podcast, man, I got to have you back, but before, cause I want to be real respectful of your time, but I want you to talk to me about what you're doing in the leadership space through dining etiquette. And I think this fits perfectly with our conversation on systems, because many of us growing up, professional etiquette, dining etiquette was not a part of our system. But for those of us who it was, it's common sense to us. So how are you teaching leadership principles through this niche? How'd you find this niche of dining etiquette? And how are you using it to teach leadership?
Oh, that is so awesome. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, this is really our niche. When you talk about a niche, I mean, so like I told you before, when I was playing arena football, because I didn't make a lot of money playing arena football, I waited tables. So for 8 years, over a span of 8 years, I learned an enormous amount of information about dining etiquette. Mm-hmm. And who would have known? This is why it's so important to value what you go through. I don't care if you were sweeping floors right now.
Yes, sir.
That's why you can't look at the person. You're a corporate person. You're listening to this podcast. You can't look at the person cleaning the floors right now and then and don't respect them. You never know who that person's gonna be. I was waiting tables, and now I'm coaching leaders, coaching executives. Come on now. But once again, it's basically because I value what I go through. I value everything that I go through, and I don't deem anything as a failure. It's like, okay, well, I had to wait tables. Big deal. I had to do. You're not paying my bill. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to play arena football, so I had to make the decision to do something that I was going to be able to make money and still train to be a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. I did what I had to do to get in where I fit in. So with dining etiquette, I learned a lot of information from that perspective. And then I've always loved manners. Of course, I'm of Jamaican descent, so we ate it with the English way, you know, and there's just so much you learn from that perspective. And I was taught, I was one of those kids that I just love to be a man, you mm-hmm. know, have manners mm-hmm. and have respect. I love that. And I teach my son that right now. And I think it's important because you just don't know who's watching at all times. You never know who's watching you. And with this dining etiquette piece, universities booked me to come in and do the dining etiquette piece where it's taught over 3-course meals, really neat, Pierre. Mm. So what I do is it's really cool because, so I have the dining service at the university and they are serving the students. And while they're serving the students, I'm teaching them dining etiquette. And it's driven by the students' questions. It's driven by their questions. And of course, the students are open because I make sure it's a no judgment zone. The majority of the time when you're thinking about dining etiquette, if you look up anything in dining etiquette, I don't know. It's probably a handful of males. And, you know, to be a black male in that space is very different. Mm-hmm. And that's the unique aspect of what I'm doing. How I merge leadership in it is because I let people understand that you are a leader. You may not think that you're a leader, but you are a leader. You were born. This is my thought process. This is what I believe. You were born to be a leader. And you are supposed to lead in everything that you do. Mm-hmm. You lead yourself first. And so there's principles that I teach, which is simple intelligence principles in the dining etiquette piece of the training. Like, for instance, the first principle of simple intelligence. My response is my responsibility. Hmm. Pierre, you better take that and run that with your little girls. That's good. Take that and run that. Yeah. Yeah. My response is my responsibility. So with that being said, that's what I do is I bring the leadership in there with the dining etiquette training. And it's important because a lot of employers are taking employees out to be interviewed over a dining setting.
Yep.
And that is, and I used to be a hiring manager and I used to do it when I was a director, a campus director. So because I wanted to see how do you operate in a social setting? How do you operate? How do you treat the waiter or the mm-hmm. waitress? Mm-hmm. How do you treat the host or the hostess? How do you eat? Do you stuff everything in your mouth? You know, are you speaking while you're eating? There's a lot of things that people are watching and you don't necessarily know that they're watching and they're making snap judgments. Yeah. I mean, it's a judgment world. That's what we live in. So it's a really good skill set for young professionals to have. And now I'm getting reached out to by a lot of professionals that are not in universities that want me to do this training. So it's getting exciting. I'm about to take this to another level here. I will say this, my church actually reached out and they would like for me to do it as well. And I'm going to do it this summer to do the dining etiquette piece for the couples, and for the singles. We're going to invite everybody from the church. And it's going to be a nice event, really nice event.
How can we keep up with you? Where are you on social? What's your web presence? How can we stay up to date on all the stuff that you're doing?
So pierrecamp.com. I couldn't get Pierre Campbell because someone else had Pierre Campbell back in 2011 when I stepped out my website. Exactly. So Pierre Camp worked out because Pierre Camp, I'm an ex-football player. So it worked out well, the whole thought process of being in a camp. So you can go to my website and visit me there, pierrecamp.com. But I would encourage people to also go to LinkedIn. I do this coaching series on LinkedIn. It's called the Simple Intelligence Leadership Coaching Series, where I answer questions. You ask me questions, and I'll just do a short video, maybe a 1 to 3 minute video, answering your question in a video once a week. I'll answer a question. So I'm on week 18. I just posted a video this morning where I answered a question. So, yeah, looking forward to connecting with all your listeners.
And folks, we're going to put all of Pierre's information in the show notes. If you've just catching the tail end of that, there are two Pierres on the podcast today. So you got to rewind to the beginning and kind of get the full story. But for Pierre Campbell, we're going to put all of his stuff in the show notes, his website, his social, his LinkedIn, so you can stay connected to him and all the things that he's doing, especially in the space of helping us to challenge our mindset and our systems, because what's common sense to you may not be common sense to somebody else. And that's where we may be missing each other. Pierre, I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. I am going to beg you to come back. I may give you a couple months, but we got a lot that we've started. And I think our audience needs to hear more from you and how you define simple intelligence.
It's been a pleasure, Pierre. Thank you for having me.
Love that interview with Pierre Campbell on this episode of the podcast. And I want you to follow up with him. I want you to check out what he's doing, his Simple Intelligence platform, and what he's doing to coach the next generation of leaders. Now, if you haven't stopped by iTunes to leave me a review, you really need to do that today. I'm begging you. I'm asking you. Stop by iTunes. Leave me a 5-star review. Leave some comments. Let other people know about this podcast and how it's making a difference in your life. Shout out again to everybody who's left a review. I've really, really, really appreciated it. And thank you for supporting me on this journey, because I'm here for you. It's my mission to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. And this podcast is one of the ways that I'm able to do that. But that's all I got for this episode. So until next time, take care and God bless.